It's not helpful. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's what Israel's prime minister says if the U.S. and Israel are not united in the war in Gaza.
It's either Israel or Hamas. There's no middle way. I mean, we have to have that victory. We can't have three-quarters of a victory.
And Netanyahu tells Fox to achieve that victory, Israel has to go into the city of Rafah, where Hamas leaders keep hiding out. President Biden's called that a crossing a red line, with more than a million civilians sheltering there as a Muslim holy month begins.
Palestinians gathered supplies over the weekend for Ramadan, the first day of fasting. Fasting is today. The question now is how and when Israeli forces will enter Gaza's southernmost city of Rafah.
Fox's Trey Yingston, Tel Aviv. That's just one area of concern for the Senate to consider today at an intel hearing on worldwide threats.
The Director of National Intelligence, the FBI, and CIA will discuss a host of issues involving U.S. national security. Russia, China, and Iran are all likely to come up, with the House set to vote this week on a bill that would ban TikTok in the United States due to the social media platform's connection to the CCP. With illegal migrant apprehensions surging along the southern border, including hundreds on the terror watch list, it's likely that several senators will focus their attention on border security.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz, another issue for Boeing to investigate after numerous recent issues, including the blown out door plug on a flight in January. This one happened today on a LATAM Airlines flight from Australia to New Zealand.
The Boeing 787-9 Dreamliner had a technical issue causing the plane to suddenly lose altitude. Well, dozens were wounded. Many of them were taken to the hospital upon landing, and one person is in serious condition. And some on board were reportedly thrown to the ceiling when the plane plummeted.
Fox's Alex Hogan. An American man's been sentenced to life in prison in Germany after being convicted of murder, attempted murder, and rape in an attack on two American women last summer, pushing them down into a ravine, killing one. America's listening to Fox News.
You know, our friends at Henry Repeating Arms, they manufacture a line of very high quality rifles, shotguns, and revolvers that you can be very proud to own. Now, they're made in America with parts and materials also from America. Now, they use old world craftsmanship combined with cutting edge technology to deliver reliable and accuracy that you can trust in any situation. Now, they're easy to use and maintain. It makes them an excellent choice for both a novice and experienced shooter. Henry has over 200 models, so you can find the firearm that's right for you. There's also new releases all throughout the year. And every purchase is backed by their lifetime warranty and the company's owner. Anthony Imperato also gives his personal guarantee for 100% satisfaction. Now, make sure you go to their website, henryusa.com. Order their free catalog. They'll send you free decals and a list of dealers where you are. That's henryusa.com. Free catalog, free decals, and a list of dealers where you are. You're going to love this company and these firearms like I do.
The next disaster is coming. The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact, and keep your contact list somewhere safe. Build a kit with enough food and water for 3 days. And don't forget your pets. Keep 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to get the extra doses. Make copies of important documents and keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Note area hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid, and sign up for local alerts. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
Parenting is hard. Technology can make it harder. The Family Media Plan developed by the American Academy of Pediatrics helps make it easier. Go to healthychildren.org/media plan to create the media plan that's right for your family. Whether you make a full plan or just choose a few parts that matter the most to your family, HealthyChildren.org/media plan is an easy-to-use tool that will help your family set media priorities and create healthy digital habits in line with your family's values. You'll also get practical tips to help make the plan work. And you can come back to revise your plan as often as you need to, like at the beginning of each school year or during summer and holiday breaks. Raising kids in the age of screens is easier when you have a plan. Go to healthychildren.org/media plan and make your plan today.
Hey, Mark here for Corona Optique with some vision tips for you. It's been said that our eyes are the windows to the soul, and for most of us, it represents our most cherished sense. Our eyes provide the most immediate and lasting impression of our world, but we expose our eyes to danger every day simply by going outside. Here's some simple protective strategies to help you keep your eyes and skin around your eyes healthy. Sunglasses should be worn by old and young alike at all times outside, and be sure they are 100 both UVA and UVB protective. Sunglasses should be large enough to shield the eyes, eyelids, and surrounding skin. Polarized lenses can eliminate glare. And did you know that a hat with at least a 3-inch brim can block as much as half of all UVB rays from your eyes and eyelids? And don't forget sunscreen for both your head and your body before heading out. Corona Optique has a full line of fashion eyewear that not only looks good, but helps protect your eyes too. Call 928-726-1100 or online at coronaoptique.com.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner, an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. I'm in studio with Adam Hanson and Thomas Sparks. Also running the boards is Cody Beeson. This morning, we're going to be talking about preserving democracy. And we've heard a lot about that in the news lately, and so we're going to see how our government is assisting us as the people who don't understand how to vote for our leaders properly, how they're going to preserve democracy for us. But first, I want to talk about my recent faux pas with my pants situation. Okay, I know, it's getting a little bit personal right off the bat. Dress pants last forever because they're made of these nylon, man-made materials, some type of spandex type of interwoven material, and they last forever. So I've got pants that are like 5 years old, and I keep buying new pants thinking, well, these are going to fit better. And I keep buying the same size, and they still fit too tight. And so anyway, my wife bought me a pair of pants. They were these very nice, not just from Marshall's or your regular department store. They're a very nice pair of pants, and they were tailored pretty nicely. I tried them on. They were the same size. They're marked the same size, but they fit wonderfully, right? They're totally comfortable. So I took all my pants in, like 10 pair of pants, to a tailor, and I said, can you make all of them fit like this? And so she said, yeah, great. So it was a lot. It was about $20 to $30 per pair of pants to tailor each one of those. So, you know, for $300, I get my pants back, and I'm trying them on this morning, and I'm like, they're all tight. I'm like, what is the deal? So I go out to my wife, and I'm like, the tailor didn't do it right. They're all tight. And she's like, well, what are you comparing them to? And I go, well, I gave her these nice pants that you bought me that fit perfectly, and the ones that she gave back are all tight. And she's like, those pants that I gave you are the stretchy types. Mm-hmm. They're the relaxed fit, you know, wherever you bend. It says it's a 34 waist, but really it's going to fit anybody between 32 and 38, you know. And I'm like, oh. Yeah.
So did you alter all your pants?
Yeah, they're all altered. So now I can either wear the same one pair of pants that they were patterned after or actually use that home gym that's collecting dust. So that's a dilemma. Probably just wear the same pair of pants. That's the only rational solution.
Yeah.
Back to democracy. We've got a clip about Joe Rogan talking to Christopher Rufo, and they're explaining how the government, and actually who's running the government behind the scenes, is going to help us as a people preserve democracy. Can we play that clip?
Here we go.
I put you to sleep with that story, my pants story?
Yeah, yeah.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
When you look at the current political landscape, particularly these trials, how disturbed are you by what seems to be this acceptance that people have for prosecuting political opponents? Because to me, regardless of what you think about Donald Trump as a human being and the polarizing figure that he is, setting the precedent of trying your political opponents to somehow or another either put them in jail or make them seem like complete total criminals in a way that would, for the casual, for the person who's not reading deep into the headlines, for the casual Democrat that sees this Trump real estate thing that just happened where he got fined $365 million, the casuals, I've seen people argue, you know, that, you know, fraud is fraud and this is that and he's a fucking fraud. And then I saw Kevin O'Leary explain it from Shark Tank. He was saying this is what every real estate developer does. They say my building's worth $400 million. And then someone comes along from the bank and they say, no, it's worth $300 million. We'll give you a loan on $300 million or whatever it is, whatever the
number.
It's
a negotiation.
But also, real estate pricing in general is a strange thing to say that's fraud, because people overvalue their property all the time. I mean, it's a standard thing that people do. When someone has a house and it's worth $700,000, they decide to list it as $900,000.
So, Thomas, you know a little bit about this case in New York. What is Trump asking for? Well, what did he ask for and get? And what is he getting charged for in this fraud case in New York?
Yeah, so Trump, when he was building, you know, part of his New York, you know, empire, if you will, he was doing a lot of real estate and he was putting up collateral that he owned to be able to back loans up. So he would say, I've got this building that's worth $200 or $300 million, and I think I should be able to secure a loan for this new building I want. And the bank's job in a normal transaction would be to say, okay, well, let's send our people over to that building and we're going to counter you and say that building's only worth $200 million. So, and there's going to be a little bit of a back and forth, and then they're going to reach a number they both agree on, and then they'll secure a loan. And the case was about the city of New York, the prosecutor's office, saying that we don't think your building was worth that much, and we think you defrauded the city because you're overvaluing your building, and therefore you got a loan you shouldn't have got.
And here's the irony. The city didn't actually even fund the loan. It was a privately funded loan. The city didn't have anything to do with it. The only reason that the city is involved at all is, and it's actually the state, it was that because states prosecute criminal actions, not private citizens. Private citizens sue for civil damages, meaning money damages. The bank never sued for money damages for a big reason. There were no damages. The loan got made. The loan got repaid. The building was built, and everybody went on doing business. The loan was repaid with interest that was agreed upon. And so they're going back through the paperwork determining, okay, what can we accuse Trump of and indict him for so we can prevent him from running for president again? There was this law that had never been applied to anybody in this situation. They applied it to Trump and convicted him for defrauding the lenders who are not even participating in this suit because it's now a criminal charge for criminal fraud.
You know, not only did the bank who originally loaned Trump the money not participate in the lawsuit to, attack Donald Trump. They actually testified in court to defend him, to say, we made money on this deal, we're fine with the deal, and we do business with him again. So I don't know in what world the person who is supposed to be harmed comes to the defense of the person accused and they still lose, saying there was no crime here, we felt good about the deal and we loved it.
Yeah, and there are a lot more details that are even more disturbing that you can get into if you follow it. I don't want to bore you with them, but I will say one, and that was that Judge Ingeron, who was presiding over this case, who was a very stout Democratic Party advocate, he was deciding the value of the properties on his own beforehand. And so he wouldn't allow any testimony as to the true values of the property. He'd already determined that on his own. And so he'd only allow testimony as to whether or not the documents were accurate based on the values that he came up with. And he valued Mar-a-Lago, which is one of the most expensive pieces of real estate in the world, at $18 million. And he was off by, probably $180 million on that. And it just shows how far off and how askewed this case was. But he wouldn't allow any testimony to contradict his assertions as to what the values of the collateral that was offered up by Donald Trump to secure these loans were. So anyways, he gets convicted for fraud. And it's not losing a civil case. He gets convicted of fraud. So with fraud, the state gets to assign the penalties, and they assigned $350 million, some odd dollars, and plus they went backwards in time to say, well, since this happened so long ago, we're going to assign interest, so another $100 million in interest on top of that. And so that is just mind-blowing. Can you imagine? Now, let's bring it down to our level, okay? Adam, you and I own a business, right? And it used to be a bank. And when we were negotiating to purchase the bank says, well, we built this bank for X amount of money. And we said, well, that's great, you know, that you did that. But we think it's worth a lot less because we're going to use it as an office building, and we don't need bulletproof glass. We don't need steel cement reinforced walls. And we don't need a big vault in it. We like it. We like all that stuff, but we're going to use it for an office building. So we're negotiating the value based on what we're going to use it for. That's true with everything in real estate. That's why with real estate, it's unique, and there's a carve-out in law that you just can't get a money judgment when you enter into a contract to buy real estate. That's one of the areas where the court will actually enforce what's the term for it?
Specific performance.
Specific performance.
Yes. That's one case where the court will order specific performance. In most contracts, if one party doesn't perform their obligations under the contract, the court is going to award money damages. In real estate contracts, they don't do that. They order specific performance because no two pieces of real estate are identical. And that's the same thing with, you know, the deals that he was doing in New York. He's saying, this is how much it's worth because of the place that it's at, because how I'm going to build it, because of the reputation that it's going to have. All of these things go into that, and the judge says, nah, I'm going to determine on my own. So anyways, that is obviously a weaponization and very, very biased version of the application of the justice system. We got to take a break. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
It is a fine stretch of springtime here through Wednesday, but the colder weather is not completely done just yet. There's another storm that will cool the temperatures about 5 to 10 degrees later in the week. No rain expected around here, though. Just sunshine today and a mild afternoon. 79 the high. Tomorrow, still mild, 78. Wednesday, a couple of clouds, but dry, 79. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Listen to KBLU from 8 to 9 every Monday morning to Life, Death, and the Law. Sean Garner and Adam Hansen discuss estate planning options. Learn how you can plan your estate using a will or trust to protect your family and secure your legacy. That's Life, Death, and the Law every Monday, 8 to 9 a.m. on 560 KBLU.
Hi, this is Tony Driscoll. I'm the new vice president and general manager for El Dorado Broadcasters here in Yuma. I wanted to let you know how excited my wife and I are to be back in the desert southwest. And I want to say a special hello to local business owners and operators. You know, I've spent many years working with successful businesses that at times find themselves frustrated in the areas of branding their business, competing with big box stores, and struggle with deciding where to invest their promotional dollars. Now, I'm not sure if you're running into any of these types of challenges, but if you are, I'm guessing one of the things you're tired of is all the media reps that come into your office saying they're the only and the best place to spend your money. I completely understand that, as I've heard it a lot. If you have some real concerns regarding your marketing, would it make sense to get together for me to get a better understanding of your business and your challenges? If you think so, please call me at 928-344-4980. That's 344-4980. Thank you. I appreciate you listening and hope to talk to you soon.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help heal veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
Looking for a place to store your golf cart? Look no further. Cars and Carts does it all. They will pick up your cart, store it in their facility, charge the battery monthly, maintain the water, complete services as needed, clean it up, and deliver it back to you when you are back in town. What more could you ask for? Cars and Carts, for all your golf cart needs, repairs, or if you're shopping for a new ride, give Denny a call today at 928-726-2286 or stop by Cars and Carts at 2899 South Sherry Avenue in Yuma.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. This is Sean Garner in studio with Adam Hansen, Thomas Sparks, and Cody Beeson. We're talking about the unbiased justice system and how they are preserving us from losing our democracy by telling us who we can and can't vote for. Which, you listen to that a little bit slowly, they are helping preserve the democracy by not allowing us to vote for the person that we want to vote for. Whether you like or hate Donald Trump, let his name be on the ballot. In a democracy, if we don't like him, we don't vote for him. If we do, then we vote for him. That is how democracies go. Sometimes they're ugly. Sometimes the people make a wrong choice. Hey, I think that we've made a wrong choice on several occasions. Case in point, our presiding president right now. So that's what happens in democracies. But I don't think that the state gets to determine who is on the ballot, because that's not a democracy. That's an autocracy, where the aristocrats or the elites at the top get to decide what the people, the very narrow choice that the people get to participate in the political system. So we were going back to this real estate deal and how ridiculous it was. And Thomas, you were making a point.
Yeah, I see some of the further implications of that case, because if you're just talking about million-dollar real estate in New York, that's a distant world for most of us. You know, we're not going to see that kind of money in our lifetime. But if you look at the principle that's being argued, in that you've got a judge saying what something's worth and what someone's allowed to sell it for, we can bring that straight home into each of our homes, and that we each, you know, unless you've paid off your home, you have a mortgage. And you, if you want to sell it, you need to negotiate with the bank and negotiate with the buyer to see how much is this worth, how much has it appreciated, how much has it been devalued. And if you were to, in theory, sell a house for a certain amount of money, under this ruling, a judge could step in and say that house is overvalued. You are not allowed under the law to sell it for that much. You need to take a hit on this house because it's unfair to the buyer.
Or even taking it further, years after the fact, you sell the house. The real estate market plummets. The person who has purchased the house for the amount that you both agreed on comes back and says, that house really wasn't worth that amount. You know, they propped it up and they mowed the lawn all nice and they painted the trim and it looked good, but it really wasn't worth that amount. Yes, I did look at it and I had 30 days to have it inspected and the due diligence was on me, but they defrauded me because it actually isn't worth that much. And look, if we get it appraised today, it isn't worth that much. And so the judge can not only undo the transaction, they can prosecute you criminally and assign penalties for having sold that house. That not only goes against everything that's common sense, but it is actually unconstitutional. And the thing about that is in the Constitution, it guarantees us the right, the freedom to contract, to freely contract with one another. And when I contract with you, what you are willing to provide a service for or sell me a good for is between me and you, and the government should stay out of it. And our forefathers had, or our founding fathers, had the foresight of actually understanding that the government should not get involved in those contracts and those negotiations. And so I think this law on its face is unconstitutional. Jumping into another point, the minimum wage law. We know in California, they're raising the minimum wage for fast food restaurants to $20 an hour. They just passed that law. $20 an hour to work at a fast food restaurant, okay? So now if I've got a 16-year-old that wants to get experience about showing up on time, participating in a team, working various functions, and fast food restaurants are pretty high-tech right now, so that they could get experience operating these high-tech machines, providing customer service, working under pressure, but they have zero experience right now, right? They're going to break down sometimes. Sometimes they're going to show up late. Sometimes their shirts are going to be wrinkly. So they're not the highest quality hire, right? But they need to start somewhere. In California, they got to start them out at $20 an hour. That's ridiculous. So what that does is the employers are going to look at my kid and say, you're not worth $20 an hour. We're going to hire the guy with a college degree. And so it's eliminating all those jobs for the people that need to start out and get some real-world experience working. And it's also hurting the employers because they're hiring people at a higher wage. And the people that are hired at the higher wage, it's still at a fast food restaurant. I had to go to get my bachelor's degree. I'm showing up on time. I'm showing up with my shirt pressed. But I'm still working at McDonald's, right? What was the point? I was told if I went and got my bachelor's degree, I'd get a real job and not a start-out job that, you know, some pimple-faced teenager ought to have.
Yeah, and then on top of that, it also hurts the consumer because I don't think that the business owners are going to do much to take a hit to their own revenues because they got to keep their business open and running.
Well, you're seeing things like when Wendy's introduces, like, surge pricing.
Yeah.
Like, crazy stuff like that. Like, what happened to just some market value? Anyways.
Did it tank?
No, they're going to be introducing that stuff. But point being is businesses are going to have to adapt, and they're going to have to play by these rules because now, you know, they have an entry-level employee making $40,000 a year.
Yeah, they can't survive. And another issue is with Arizona. We can say, well, California, if they want to go down that road, they can. We're in Arizona. We can make our own minimum wage. It has a serious trickle-over effect because when California requires a higher minimum wage, then what happens is rent goes up, food prices go up, gas prices go up, car prices go up, everything goes up over there. So essentially what they've done is they've inflated the money over there. So its purchasing power has far less value in California, but it's got the same value over here in Arizona. And so the money that I make at, say, $15 an hour or even $10 an hour. I know that minimum wage now is nearly $15 an hour in Arizona, but you go to Idaho and minimum wage is like $7.50, $8 an hour. That dollar in California goes so much further in Idaho, even though the kid in Idaho did the same amount of work for the same amount of hours with the same amount of quality, but their dollar isn't worth as much because California decided just to triple the amount of dollars that were paid out for the same amount of work. And so what it does is it dilutes every other state's dollar, and it increases the real estate value. We can see that firsthand in Yuma, just across the river from California, because the houses here are so darn expensive. They're not relative at all to the actual wages that are being paid and the residents that live here. They're relative to the wages that are getting paid in California. She stopped the elimination of the rule in the Senate for the filibuster. Now, the filibuster is the ability for any senator to get up on the floor and continue talking and can't be interrupted, so basically can stop a bill from going forward and having a vote on the bill until they're done talking. And the only way that you can break a filibuster is for 60 senators to vote that you need to stop talking and we want to move forward with the vote. And so it requires more coordination of all the senators together. Now, when there was there is currently a very slight majority for Democrats in the Senate right now, it's 51-49, then they could push through basically any bill. And they wanted to push through a lot of bills that Kyrsten Sinema said, no, I don't think we ought to push this through without some bipartisan cooperation. And so they wanted to change the Senate rules, and all they needed to do to change the Senate rules was a simple majority vote. And since there was 51% Democrats, they could do that. And she stood up and said, no, I'm not going to vote for changing the Senate rules. We're going to keep the filibuster in place. It's in place for a reason. It requires things to slow down for us to think about it a little bit more. And I'm not going to budge on this. And she took a lot of flack from her party from doing that, so much that she actually became independent rather than continuing being recognized as a Democrat. And I thought that took a lot of guts. I just finished reading this book, Mitt Romney, A Reckoning. He's got a couple books out there. This one's called A Reckoning. And he said that he became good friends with Kyrsten Sinema because they were both trying to do what they thought was best for their constituents instead of just going along with whatever the party heads were telling them to do. And that was the same with Chuck Manchin. Now, what is the common theme with Chuck Manchin from West Virginia, Kyrsten Sinema, and Mitt Romney? They're all resigning, or they're all not going to run for reelection. They're just burnt out. The machine has ground them up and spit them out. They've gotten so much hate from their own party that they don't even know where to sit at the lunch table anymore. We got to take a break. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question or want to join the conversation? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Dear, has my honey-do list become a honey-don't?
I need to rent tools to do the to-do list.
Let's go to Southwest Lumber. They've got everything you need to do the to-dos, and they're voted Yuma's best year after year.
Get all your to-dos to done at Southwest Lumber, 1917 South Avenue B. Open Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Go and ask about their rental specials, like half-day pricing on overnight rentals, Monday through Friday. When you rent on Saturday, Sundays are free. Call Southwest Lumber at 928-782-9867.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
After spending years in foster care, Lexi worried that she and her brother were too old to be adopted. Thankfully, the siblings were adopted, with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I love teenagers. To see how brave Lexi was and how she opened herself up to being in a family, all of a sudden, she's holding my hand and calling me Mom. It was really special.
Every child, no matter their age, deserves to grow up in a safe, permanent home.
Children at every age experience challenges, Teenagers are more complex than young children, but in the best ways.
You're never too old for family. Learn how you can help children still waiting to be adopted from foster care at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
We all know driving hammered gets you nailed, but did you also know driving high is a DUI? I'm Officer Badalucco with the Gilbert Police Department. Anything that impairs your driving makes you dangerous on the road. If you feel different, you drive different, and driving high is illegal. Be smart with marijuana use. Get the facts at drivinghighaz.com and spread the word with hashtag HighDUI. This message is sponsored by the Governor's Office of Highway Safety.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
Donors choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Did you know that every year, public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? Let's do the math. That comes out to over $1.2 billion a year. And that's just not right. At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. And now, more than ever, they need your help. Here's what you can do. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, history, and more. Once a request is funded, we'll take care of shipping everything directly to the teacher. It's that easy. You'll receive thank you letters and photos from students and teachers and a report of how every dollar was spent. Teachers' needs have never been greater. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
Donors Choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Explore and play with Arizona Lottery's new Arizona Adventure Scratchers. It'll be your reward at every summit and your passenger on every road trip. With $1 million in cash and travel prizes and three ways to win, Arizona Adventure Scratchers from Arizona Lottery are your ticket to adventure. Play, enter, and check in at azadventure.com.
560 KBLU.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. We're talking about Kyrsten Sinema not running for re-election, along with other moderates, whether they're Democrat moderates or Republican moderates, Mitt Romney being the Republican moderate from Utah, and Chuck Schumer being the Democrat moderate from West Virginia. Both those three individuals, if their names weren't on a bill, those bills weren't getting passed. They were swing votes for our states. They were like the Sandra Day O'Connor for the Senate. You know, Sandra Day O'Connor really decided where the Supreme Court was voting because she was supposed to be conservative, but she often voted on a liberal agenda. And these individuals, I think they actually exercised conscience when they were participating as representatives in the Senate. And I think that takes a lot of gumption. I don't agree with a lot of their policies. Mitt Romney, he's a guy that I've followed him for a long time. I wanted so badly for him to win in 2012 and when he ran against Obama's second term. And he worked very hard. He was a never-Trumper in 2016. He thought that Trump was going to be devastating for our country. Time has told that that didn't happen. I think Trump was very good for our country. I don't necessarily think that Trump's personal life is stellar, but as a president, I think our country went in the right direction. And Mitt Romney, he also supported the BLM, which I thought was I didn't like that at all. That was really hard for me to swallow. And so for some of his political decisions, I didn't agree with, but I've never really questioned his morals. I think that he looks at the big picture. He's got more information than I does, than I do, than me does. And
the Kentucky coming out right there.
Exactly. And he decides on that. And Chuck Manchin was the same way from West Virginia, right? And I'm actually really sad to see them go, because just think if most of our all of our representatives actually decided independently based on what was good for the country, and we would have a lot less laws passed. And I think that's a great thing, because I think there's far too many laws, and we wouldn't have nearly as many laws that have all of this pork packed into the bills that are being passed. Cody, what's your take on Kyrsten Sinema? Why is she electing now not to go for re-election? I know that you've got a different point of view.
So my crazy conspiracy theory on it is, look at the deadlines and look at what's coming up in about a month or so. They're going to have to make their decisions. I think she got out of the way to not split the race and not give it to Carrie Lake. So I think there was a deal made with Democrats. Again, this is all conspiracy theory. There's no proof of any of this other than logic. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get out of the way now, and then maybe next year when you're lobbying, you'll get what you want. But I think Washington is all about backroom deals, and this is just more par for the course.
So, and that's interesting, because she was specifically a standout,
yeah,
from a lot of those backroom deals, and as an independent, because she declared to be independent a year ago.
But what's your next move? What's life after this?
Yeah, she couldn't win as an independent.
So
if she did, it would be unprecedented.
And you still need favors. You still need to connections on the Hill. So mm-hmm. You still need to get stuff done. So I might be totally wrong, and maybe I am wrong.
Who gets more attention than the swing vote?
Yeah. Well, but what's the writing on the wall? Do you have ability to win? And look at how close that governor's race was. There's no way.
Right. So she would have split the Democrat vote, right?
I think so, yeah.
A lot of Democrats would have voted for her as an independent. And then who is the heir apparent for the Democrats' Senate seat?
Rubin out of Phoenix, Gallego.
Gallego?
Yeah. He's running for Senate. And long story short, I think he's going to sweep, the Democrat support, obviously.
So she's seeing that she is not going to be reelected. And so why run again if you're not going to be reelected as an independent?
Why take a loss?
Right. She could also hurt Carrie Lake, too, because there's a lot of people that see Carrie Lake as an extremist. Well, Carrie Lake is an extremist as far as her points of view. I tend to agree with her points of view, and if that makes me an extremist, then so be it. Her points of view are that the administrative state are running our country, and they need to get out of the way. We need to clean up what's going on with the elections, make them more transparent and fair. I think that a big push for her was that the media was spinning every story and that she was going to point them out on inaccuracies. So to the extent that she's extreme in that point, I'm fine with it. But there are people that think that she's a conspiracy theorist because she's still fighting in the courts right now election fraud. And people are like, if you say election fraud, you might as well say I'm a racist too, because either way you're going to be, you know, cast out and what's the word, ostracized and shunned from society.
Yeah, if you have to explain, you're going to lose.
Yeah. Oh. So anyway, I think there are a lot of people could be taken away from Carrie Lake as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought Carrie Lake would be the you know, voice or the one vote for the conservative side, and she'll get the support. I see the Democrats being fractured, but
yeah, I think that it would hurt the Democrat candidate more than Carrie Lake. So I do see that, but I don't know. I'm hesitant. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt because what she did as in her term of service, she stood up to the Democrats getting rid of the filibuster. She stood up to certain bills. She would not sign on to them. And she actually participated quite a bit in the bills that did get drafted and that were passed with bipartisan support.
You know, there were several times that I remember watching her, and it's like, wow, she's representing her constituents, not a far-left ideology from the Democrats, but she mm-hmm. actually represents, you know, people in Arizona. And it wasn't like crazy policy issues, but it was like signaling, you know, she actually did a good job representing us.
Yeah, and I didn't vote for her.
No.
I can't remember who was running up against her, but that's how involved I was.
Well, that was 6 years ago. She filled McCain's seat, right?
No, it was...
Kyle.
Snow. Jeff Snow. No, not Jeff Snow, but what's his name? Flake.
Jeff Flake.
Flake.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was who was it?
Flake decided not to run for re-election, and she filled his seat.
You know what? And that was kind of Flake was an anti-Trumper back then.
Yeah.
Well, he still is.
Definitely. It was who was the Air Force
Kelly? The Air Force. Gifford.
Is it Gabby Gifford? Is her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was the one who filled McCain's seat, I think, right when before they had an election.
Oh, you're talking about the husband, right?
No, talking about her.
Wasn't she put in for when he passed?
No. I don't think so. I thought it was the bald guy. What's his name?
Kelly. Yeah.
Mark Kelly.
That's Gabby's husband.
Oh, that's her husband?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the fact is Mark Kelly got appointed. Kristen Sinema filled the seat of Flake, Senator Flake. And, anyway. I don't know where we're going with it either, but
I'm thinking Martha McSally.
Martha McSally.
That's who, yes. She ran against Martha McSally. Kristen Sinema.
And she beat her. And then,
yes.
And then Doug Ducey appointed McSally to fill John McCain's seat in the interim when he passed. Is that not correct? I thought that's what happened.
And then she got beat by Mark Kelly.
Got beat by Mark Kelly.
Yeah.
In the actual
election.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Which Mark Kelly I haven't heard anything about him.
Mark Kelly is, I think he's a windbag.
Meaning, like, he's not out there. He's not, he's a non.
He tries to be.
Oh, like, really? I haven't heard him. I did hear him a few, you know, a while back. I think it was some gun stuff, maybe.
Yeah, he tries to be. He tries to get out there, but he always votes. Like, if you look at his voting pattern, it's 98% whatever the Democrat Party is voting for. He never stands up against the Biden administration. And, you know, if he really believed all of those things, then that's great. But what's the likelihood? Most people that are well-meaning, that are voting their conscience, have a difference of opinion.
That's true. I think that I struggle with that thought sometimes just because, like, for me, I think of the Supreme Court when I think of this argument, in that when I think a Supreme Court justice is appointed because they're conservatively valued, not necessarily politically, but their value system is morally conservative,
mm-hmm.
and then they vote not according to how I think that should play out, It makes me upset. I think like, well, man, like you got appointed because of your value system and you're voting against what we thought that you were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that being a hypocritical point of view if I want to try to bring that over to politics and say I want compromise, but at the end of the day, I want you to do what I believe is right, and I think I'm right most of the time. I think everybody thinks that.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're married, then you know that compromise is required.
Correct.
And that's actually a famous line from Mitt Romney. You know, when he was running for Senate in Utah after he lost the presidency or the run against Obama, one of the people in the crowd, you know, yelled out, "Well, Mitt, are you going to compromise?" And he goes, "Well, are you married? Because if you are, and it's been any amount of time, you realize compromise is a requirement for us to coexist.
Sure.
You're going to need to compromise. Now, does that mean that you compromise your values? No, you can stand up for your values, but understand that there is a give and take. And I think there's a big difference in what these three individuals that I'm talking about, Kyrsten Sinema, Chuck Schumer, and Mitt Romney, have all done. They have voted according to their conscience. It has been conservative for the most part with Mitt Romney, and I think it's been liberal for the most part with Kyrsten Sinema. But when it came to big issues like the budget, when it was the Inflation Reduction Act, they were like, no, that they voted against that. Mm-hmm. And the Build Back Better Act, they voted against that. And so those were things that they stood up and said, this is actually hurting our economy more. And yes, that is our party's line, but we're not going to do it.
Yeah, and I love that. I think that to take Mitt Romney's example of marriage, and I think that the antidote to like permanent compromise is marrying a like-minded individual. So if you have a person who shares your thoughts and your values 90% of the time, the 10% of compromise is pretty easy. Like it must be a really bad idea if my spouse is saying, you know, don't do that.
Or you have to really believe in your idea and how important it is, because you choose your battles. That is something that you do in a marriage. And so when my kids are going to school, my wife is really adamant about them attending one particular school, she usually wins that argument, right? And when it comes to the hours that I have to work, I usually win that argument. And so we have to choose our battles and defer to the person that has expertise in that particular area.
Sure. And I think that's more palatable to me. If I know my representative, who I believe shares my value system, is going to vote how I thought they would vote 90% of the time, and then the 10% arbitrary numbers, they break from the party and say, this is too much, I'm willing to tolerate that and to be able to listen to their point of view.
Yeah. That's all the time that we have for today. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom. And when they come home,
I had just come home from serving over in Germany. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed for the rest of my life.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America, because they've kept their promise to never leave a fallen soldier behind. A roof over their heads, accessible homes and cars, jobs, benefits.
PVA has brought me back to life.
Show them their sacrifice hasn't been in vain. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Human trafficking is happening in your community every day. It is the exploitation of a person using force, fraud, or coercion. Every year, millions of men, women, and children are trafficked worldwide, including right here in the United States. Learning key indicators of human trafficking can help identify exploited individuals and save lives. Call 1-877-429-8477 to report a tip or visit azactic.gov for more information. That's azactic.gov.
Need to gas up or get some coffee while out and about? Then top off with Techron at your neighborhood Chevron today. With over 20 locations across Yuma County, Chevron is proud to provide convenience, customer service, and cleanliness. Plus, Chevron also offers ice-cold drinks, Java City coffee and snacks, and more. Get superior gasoline and diesel fuel, and fuel for yourself for the road. Stop by any of Chevron's 20 locations in Yuma County today.
Pure Talk believes in American values and that free should mean exactly that, free. Well, switch to Pure Talk today and you'll get a free Samsung 5G smartphone. Now, qualifying plans start at just $35 a month for unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data, and, of course, mobile hotspot. Just dial #250, say the keyword Pure Talk, claim your eligibility for your free brand new Samsung 5G smartphone. Start saving on wireless today and switch to my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
We put our lives on the line for our country. We braved the unknown. We did what we were told, and we lit up. Our cigarette packs were as valuable as the packs on our back, maybe more. At one point, cigarettes were part of our daily ration. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. And boy, we were smoking 'em. Bumming a smoke was the norm. It was an escape from the reality of dirt, sweat, and forgetting how many days you were so far from home. Never had to worry so long as you had a light and the smoking lamp was lit. If that was you then, get your lungs screened now. Surviving lung cancer starts with a scan. Learn more at screenyourlungs.org. And thank you for your service. This PSA was made possible by industry funding and guidance from lung cancer patient groups.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU El Dorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.